Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. We create our stories, and our stories create us. Our guest, Geraldine Brooks, once told the real-life stories of Bosnia, Somalia, and the Middle East as a reporter for the Wall Street Journal and in nonfiction books. Now Ms. Brooks uses her reporting skills creating luminous fiction. She won the Pulitzer Prize for her novel March, revivifying Little Women's remarkable father. Her growing list of novels includes People of the Book, a many-layered adventure story spanning four continents and 500 years. Ms. Brooks is keenly aware that good stories, fact or fiction, are vital to democracy, and so is education, she knows, public education for everyone, not just the privileged few.
My kid is in the public school, and it is a fantastic school. So I think we generalize too much. This school is doing a wonderful job of getting kids where they come in, including immigrant kids who don't have any English when they arrive, but I tell you what, they're reading and writing beautifully when they leave. So I think that we're too hard on our public schools. It depends on the support that they're getting from their local communities.
Geraldine Brooks is a gifted writer. In addition to March and People of the Book, many also know her for Year of Wonders, a memorable fictional account of the Black Death in England. Her nonfiction includes Nine Parts of Desire, The Hidden World of Islamic Women, and Foreign Correspondence. A native of Australia, Ms. Brooks and her American writer husband, Tony Horwitz, live with their family on Martha's Vineyard after many years in rural Virginia. With such a diverse past and present, Bill Russell and I knew many stories awaited us as we greeted Geraldine Brooks, a storyteller as lively in conversation as she is gifted in print.
Geraldine Brooks, I have learned many wonderful things over the course of many, many, many programs, and one of them that gives me particular delight is from physics. And I am an innocent in physics until welcoming some world-class physicists. And the guy who more or less invented string theory opened to me, yes, right. What? Opened to me.
Am I in the wrong studio?
Well, let me tell you, that's kind of how I felt. What he told us was that the string theorists think that there may be as many as a very large number, 10 to the 500th, universes. Right. And I said to myself, well, of course, I read novels. I know there are that many universes. Isn't that kind of what a novel opens for us, is a whole universe?
I hope so. Isn't it? It's nice to think of it that way. But I'm also a big admirer of Jane Austen's view that, you know, the business of a novel is four or five families in a country village. And, you know, you burrow in to the microcosm. So I don't know what the opposite of the string theorist view is, that you should be able to go into parallel but alien worlds, but you also should look very deep at the world that you inhabit every day and try and see what you can draw from that.
One of the other scientists we've talked to is more or less in your camp. Edward Wilson, E.O. Wilson, talks about a Magellanic voyage around a tree trunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and spending a lifetime in a Magellanic voyage around a tree trunk, which is, I think, your view, Jane Austen's view.
But on the subject of string theory, I once had a very kind and patient physicist try to explain this to me. And it had to do with the Golden Gate Bridge and an ant. And that's all that stuck with me.
Well, I guess that's my fault.
What he was doing was talking about the ant going around the cable.
He was, you know it.
It's those 11 dimensions.
Yeah.
Well, I really do find that there is charm in that, because it is easy to forget that the everyday world is just the everyday world, and it has all of this richness that getting up and washing your face and going to work, we forget. But that ability to go into places that one doesn't know exist is a gift that you give to the world, but it's also a gift to yourself, isn't it?
Well, I always feel like, you know, I wake up these mornings and I've got ahead of me a day alone in a room, and it is the greatest privilege in the world to be able to go and just imagine stuff. Mm. And I never forget what a privilege that is.
Well, you go and imagine stuff, and you are a world-class reporter. So it isn't that you just make stuff up. The whole context is enriched by your seriousness about finding stories on which you can build and looking into what has happened and building from that. So it isn't simply a blank page. It's that and you and life and reporting all coming together.
Yeah, I find that reporting is really a very helpful background for me as a novelist in two ways. One is that when the plot tells you what you need to know, you've got the tools to find it. And with people of the book, that I can't tell you what I didn't know when I started that book. And the intellectual journeys that it took me on researching it, I just loved the research for that book more than perhaps any of the others.
More than writing it?
Oh, more than... No, research and writing's like this for me. You can't really pick them apart. I'm not a big fan of doing a pile of research and then figuring out a story that fits it. I like to be writing away, and the story tells me what I need to know, and then I go and find it out, come back and work it in until I get to another place where I need to know something. So that's how that works for me. But the other thing that I think having been a reporter does for you is it makes you very unprecious about writing.
Oh,
you don't wait to get your aura on straight. And I went to Columbia Journalism School, and one day the wonderful newspaper man, Jimmy Breslin, came and talked to my class, and he said, writing is bricklaying, and the words are your bricks, and you just have to lay them down side by side, and some days your wall will go up straight and true, and those are the good days, and other days it'll be a really bad wall, and you'll just have to knock it over, but at least you have something, you can look at it, and you can figure out why it didn't work.
That's fabulous. Thank you, Jimmy Breslin. And thank you, Geraldine Brooks. We'll be back in a moment for a good deal more. Please be with us.